So here we have Jermaine. Are your sisters with you in the same room, Jermaine?
Two of them. We couldn't get all four in one place. Sometimes it gets difficult to get all four of us together. But there's right. three now, of us.
Now, we have Yila, architect yeah. and photographer, and we have Nadia, radio host, that's the Playboy channel, and Jermaine. Mm-hmm. These three plus Kim.
Kim's the one that's missing.
What does she do? She's the youngest?
Yeah, she's the youngest.
Figured out her life.
She's figuring out her life right
she's
now.
She's a makeup artist slash stylist.
Yeah,
right.
Her she style. Does makeup and she does her hair. Every time we go summer, she does my makeup, all of our makeup. But she's still trying to figure out her life, too.
So, Yila and Nadia, I know a lot about you from Jermaine. You're on the RNA drops, I think, the majority of you, right?
Yeah.
Sneaking up on the Kardashian sisters are the Jermaine sisters or the Renner sisters. I don't know.
People always just say that there's so many of us, we remind them of the Kardashians, too. And people sometimes even call us the Kardashians, but we're not.
That's
we're the
right.
Renners.
This is going to be the antidote to the Kardashians. The Kardashians have taken the root of the DNA, but the Renners have taken the root of the RNA, which is the correct root.
Oh, that's a good one. I love that.
Yeah, you could use it. It's politically correct. It's not racist, sexist, or anything. You just talk genetics for the 21st century. We have taken the RNA root.
Bob, yes. But you know you can't say all these things that I've told you about. Something.
I know. It's a secret. I especially can't tell them what you told me about yourself. That's the scandalous part.
Oh, yeah. You can't say nothing about myself. You can't say nothing about
myself. Yila and Nadia, if you only knew what I knew about Jermaine, it's incredible what you're standing beside. But it must be kept.
Really?
Moment. Yes.
I tell them, but I don't know that sometimes they truly get
they
it.
Don't maybe believe it.
Yeah,
they
it's,
don't believe
it's kind of hard to do.
Right. And they attract attention because everyone creates their unique professional career bubble, and they draw attention to each of their spheres. They hang out with their mother, who is a archetype of costume design. Is it, what is it she did?
She can make anything. Anything we come up with, she finds a way and she makes it. My sister Nadia makes butt pillows.
Right.
And my mom made them. They look so cool, so she can make anything.
It's a 3D butt pillow, so it's not just your regular pillow. It's an actual 3D, but I want to confirm that it is a pillow.
Excellent, excellent. So these girls, no, ladies, women, astral bodies, anthropomorphic non-physicals. Carolyn's here. Say hello, Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn. So I come from a family of four sisters, and I think it's so cool that the four of you actually get along and hang out together.
There's five of us, actually, but there's one more, but she lives in Costa Rica, so we're not that, we're like, we don't spend that much time with her.
Wait, is she older?
Yeah, she's older.
These people are going to be important in Iandom, these sisters. And you guys might want to probe them any way you want and see what they how they respond. They're all celebrities. No, they're all media savvy. They're all savvy. You never know what they're going to say. And the Playboy hostess is going to watch out. Howard Stern, everybody look out. This woman's
yes.
no fool.
Introduce yourselves and tell us about yourself so we can get to know you.
I'm the youngest out of the three right now, right here, live with you all. I have a radio show for Playboy Radio in Spanish. I've been able to really advance my Spanish after speaking in Spanish for 4 hours, Monday through Friday. My show is on SiriusXM, and we touch all the topics that you can think of that have to do with sexual relationships and relationships in general. A lot of things that in the Latin culture are considered taboo, those are the things that we love to talk, still in a classy way, still from the Playboy magazine perspective. And we try to make that come alive, and then we also bring in artists who we interview and try to ask them risky questions, questions that they will never get asked on regular radio. So that's kind of like the way I do as far as my everyday life. However, I do want to start doing TV, so that's going to come soon, and then you guys will probably be able to see me live somewhere in the world.
Nadia,
yes.
Did you say Latin culture?
Yes.
So you're the Howard, you know, the Harriet Stern of, because you say Howard would say that he brings the questions that aren't allowed in mainstream radio. You're doing that in your world.
Absolutely, and it's the best type of interview you can ever have. You really create like a different relationship with that artist or, I mean, whomever you're interviewing.
Because they know it's going to be intimate, so they're ready for it, and then they're prepared, and they might even prepare crazy responses ahead of time, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And the ones that try not to reply to those fun questions, we kick them out of our show. There's no need for boring people in this world.
See, Carol? You're going to go far, Carolyn. Then to return, she will go far and then return with tears in her eyes and say, it was all a bunch of bullshit, it was the Matrix, and I'm going to become done.
What else? And like Jermaine mentioned, I have a butt pillow that I'm developing. If you guys were to see me live, I have a nice big butt. With a small waist, let me clarify. Small waist, big butt, just like a good Latin, just like a
Kardashian.
Just kind of like Kim Kardashian, but the Latin version. And one day, I was hanging out with my boyfriend, and he was laying on my butt, and he said, "Wow, Nadia, your butt is very comfortable." From that idea, I said, "Well, you should get a pillow. The pillow might be more comfortable." And he's like, "No, your booty is actually more comfortable than the pillow." So one day I woke up and I told my mom, "I have a great idea. I think you're going to think I'm crazy, but I think it's a fantastic idea." And I told my mom, "Can you create a 3D butt pillow where you take the measurements of my legs, my waist, and my hips, and make sure that the
Your belly button, obviously,
is in the right way, the right the same placement." And I have two little dimples in the back too. I make sure that this. I'm trying to explain so you guys can get a visual since you guys can't really see. I can't show you my pillow.
Where are the dimples?
The dimples are right behind my waist.
I know that. I know what that looks like. Carol has them.
You see, I mean, it's. I guess it's something that's very unique. But when I've said it, men say, "I know exactly what you're talking about." They're not like on my butt. They're on the top, like on the waist.
They're up on the waistband, below the belt.
Right. So we even made sure that we put that detail in there because it's really just like my body shape. So my mom thought it was a great idea.
Mom, always when we come with ideas, we're like, "Mom, let's make this." It's funny, she never says no. She's like, "Okay." So she's like, "Okay, let's make a butt pillow."
In the regular household, there's no bad ideas.
She's the epitome of relax and allow. She's relax and allow. RNA.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like she almost doesn't care. She goes along with anything.
And when you have four amazing, crazy.
As long as it's not like murder. Creative. Oh my God, remember? You want to talk about
this? Remember when you murdered that guy? Yes, I do.
Wait, we're going to hold off that story because I want to make sure that everybody gets a turn to introduce themselves so everybody understands what you guys are dealing with, because this might be either the most interesting conversation you guys are about to hear or the most boring. I mean, I don't know, but
no, we're gonna
pass it on to Jermaine.
We'll tell you a story after of how my mom goes along with almost anything except
okay,
again,
great.
Murder.
So that was Nadia talking.
Yeah.
Now comes
Gila.
Think of Gila like Gila Tequila.
How you remember that name.
Okay.
No. Gila. It's
look at Jermaine. Jermaine can't even get a word in. And you're the oldest, right, Jermaine?
Yeah, I'm the oldest.
You know, and Jermaine is well known in our scene. She was our radio fashion co-host. You know that, right?
I do. Yeah. I remember when she was putting her little demo together when she would edit her piece for the show.
Yeah, great. Because she used to do it at home?
No, I used to be at her house and she'll do it. And she's
she used to come over to my house a lot.
Yeah, and she'll be like, I need to do this for my radio show. And I thought it wasn't real up until
I
really heard it.
She said, she was like, "What radio So you're a good guy. I swear, I go live and I talk about fashion and nobody would believe me. Nobody believes me, so I stopped telling people that I did it. And to this day, I don't think nobody knows.
I heard it. I tuned in once to make sure that she was in line. I'm like, really, radio show? Like, why don't I have one? This is like a lot.
But now you have a radio show. Yeah. Wasn't it like 2010, Bob? Or 2011?
2010.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
Maybe into 2011.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
The MTV Awards, that was 2010, right?
Yeah, that was 2010. Yeah.
Were any of your sisters in the seats there in the front row that you guys had?
No, it was just my friends and I.
Okay, yeah. Gila, let's hear your story.
Hello. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a host, so I don't know if I'm going to be as interesting speaker as Navia. I don't know, like, I study architecture, now I'm doing photography.
Did you take photography courses in college or whatever?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now.
Have you studied Man Ray?
Yes, I love him.
I just
took a picture of Nadia replicating one of his pictures.
Well, there you go. See? Yep. Psychic. Dowsing. I'm a dowsing interviewer.
It's so good, Bob. We have a Man Ray story, too. When she got operated, she got some operation done, and I had to go with her, and she was, like, in pain. And we kept on saying, Man Ray, because we were like, just take your mind to somewhere else where you don't feel the pain. And she was, she was so into Man Ray at that time. So then that reminds us, every time we were like, Man Ray was the time she was getting operated.
Yeah. And I just, funny, because I just shot Nadia last week. We did a whole photo shoot replicating one of his pictures.
We'll email it to you.
Yes. What do you think of that, Carolyn? What do you think of that?
Awesome.
Okay. Osmosis. Okay, so you're an architect, and is there a training there? And did you go to school in architecture?
Yeah, I also went to school and studied architecture, yep.
She's the one that stays in school for years and studies everything.
No, that's it.
She's the left hemisphere one. You know, that tradition, the left hemisphere is rational, the right hemisphere is irrational. I mean, if you're doing architecture, I think that is left hemisphere activities. It's artistic. Yeah. You could slip over and left. So maybe you're all in the right hemisphere, but the Sheila would be closest to the left hemisphere, the logical, logical and thinker.
Yep, I'm definitely a logical thinker.
That's why she's the smartest out of the crew here. That's why I keep her around.
We keep her around when we need to make logical decisions. I'm probably the worst at it. I make no sense of nothing that I do, and I just do whatever, whenever, and I don't even think about it, so she's good balance.
And Jermaine is not lying about that.
Yeah, I'm not lying. I'm so bad at whatever. I don't know. Not bad, good, whatever.
Jermaine is hardly here. Jermaine should quote Captain Beefheart. I'm not really here. I just hang around for my friends.
Yeah, I do. For my sisters.
Yes. Yeah, hang around for my mother and sisters. That's right. So you have this architectural background. Is there a favorite architect or inspired architect? I was in the Guggenheim or something several years ago, and there's this incredible female architect out of maybe Eastern Europe or Spain or something. She's famous. Do you know who I mean?
No,
I'll have to look her up and tell you about her. Yeah. She was amazing, you know, famous woman architect. Are you finished architecture school?
For now, I have, yeah.
Okay. It might be the key to unlock your talent if you look into her work.
Yeah.
If you don't already have it unlocked. So what else would you say, reticent one?
Oh, I don't know. I mean... It's a hard topic, talking about yourself.
No, it's not.
For me,
when you're left hemisphere, that's right. But a right hemisphere has no fucking problem to talk about themselves.
Not for me. Bob, remember you said when I told you one time, when I date guys, try not to talk about myself and listen to them?
Yeah.
I have no problem talking about myself.
That's your main talking.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But what about... Nadia. Does Nadia talk a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah. More than all of
them. How about Kim?
She's a little more quiet, but she wants to say something.
She won't stop.
It's usually kind of funny. Like, she has those good one-liners.
Right. So you got Kim, Kim and Gila on one side and Jermaine and Nadia on the other side. That's the
yeah. Well, Jermaine has to get comfortable, though.
Yeah.
In the beginning, she looks like a snotty
yeah.
little, not
and
little,
you know,
but
girls,
she's
just... You know, girls or ladies, that is one of the first things Ion said about her in her private session
yeah.
with Ion. Ion picked up on that immediately.
He said that. Yeah.
What did
yeah.
he say?
He said that the men, you know, she's very attracted, or men are, what's it, attracted to you, or you attract men, but she will have nothing to do with any of them. That's what I had said.
That's funny.
You remember that, Jermaine?
I do. I always come across like I'm just don't want to be bothered or like snotty, but I'm fun. I think sometimes
there's a lot of friends that she's met, and when she first meets them, like everybody kind of doesn't want to talk to her because they think she's just snotty, like conceited. So then it takes a while for her to warm up, and then they're like, oh my god, Jermaine's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what everybody. Oh my gosh, she's actually pretty cool. She's fun, but at first I don't look fun. I look like a, I don't know.
I know, and she's been taking therapy for me, and there's going to be a change in that level. Right, Jermaine? Are we talking about that? We don't go into that, right?
Therapy?
Yes,
I think everybody needs therapy.
I read your... You know what the therapy is? I read your email.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're my therapist.
And I
the world's
short...
not ready yet. So maybe soon.
That's right, and I give short... precise answers like awesome, great, you're fucking amazing. You know, that's my therapy. No, that's pretty neat. So now you want to tell some more stories?
Oh, well, everybody knows Jermaine, right?
Yeah, everybody knows I'm a designer. I make stuff, and
you don't make stuff.
I would say I make stuff. Come on, get off your pedestal. Talk to it. You go, I'm a designer, make stuff, and I'm out of here. You know? No, please, drop the snob naturalness to yourself and tell us about the situation. What are you making?
Right now I'm creating like three different things, just always clothes. Just clothes for all different projects. That's my life, always making.
Nadia. See how reserved she is, Nadia? She won't say much at first, you know? And it's not... Well, she is conceited, but it's not really that. The first layer it is. But aren't you proud of her designs, Nadia and Sheila?
Yeah, absolutely. She's a great, talented designer that took a while to finally open herself to become and explore and be by herself on her own. But I think this is just the beginning of where she's starting.
Yes.
So I can't wait for the upcoming stuff, because I really truly feel like with anything that we do sometimes, especially with people that are creative like Jermaine and Gila, where sometimes they're not really sure of their products or their creative side, and they need reassurance every time. But I think that Jermaine's finally to a point where she truly believes in herself more than everybody else to open this creative box and start with her huskas, and I think that this is just the beginning to the next levels.
Jermaine is a, since I know her more than you two, I can say she's a person of destiny. She's a person of destiny. Jermaine's going to be important in some way, at least in her own mind.
Definitely. Definitely in my own mind. I'm already a god.
That's right.
Believe
so
it.
We've got some people here. Come on in and interview them and provoke some other stories from them, whoever's here with us.
Well, I have four sisters, too, so I know the good, juicy stories that we have. So I'll give you an example, and then you guys tell me if you have anything like that or similar. One of my sisters is only a year and a half age difference, and we ended up accidentally dating the same guy. And we found out just before he arrived to pick us up. And we didn't know that he was standing at the door, and it was a bright sunny day, and the screen door was, you know, there, so you couldn't really see beyond.
Yeah.
And my stepmother was standing there, it was in the kitchen, stirring a pot, and my sister and I just found out, and we started a rip-roaring fight to the point of tearing each other's clothes off and yelling and screaming, I saw him first, he's mine!
And oh, wow.
We heard that at the door, and my stepmother looked and was so humiliated by us that she dropped the spoon and ran out of the room. So I was wondering, what kind of crazy tales could you guys tell?
Well, let me see.
That's such a great story.
We have a rule, though. That's the only rule we have, that we don't come anywhere near a guy. But we have such different tastes that I don't think it would happen anyways.
No. I'll just say this. Jermaine does pick nice, cute-looking boys, but once you get to meet them, I don't think they would be my taste. They're just nice-looking boys, but they're not my type.
You're saying Jermaine goes for the pretty boys.
Yeah. No, I date everything. I've dated really ugly people. I just like
ugly.
I fall for guys for their mind and how, and I create this whole fantasy of how smart they are and all this stuff. But
just happen to be good looking.
Yeah, they just happen to be good looking. And when she talks about she creates these fantasies, she is not lying about that. I'm so glad that she's able to say that right now, that she creates them, because we know them. And she feels like she lives in like this castle and she's a princess. I mean, it's a full Disney production, let me tell you.
Not Disney, like 13. It's a little more dark. But,
you know. Well, you know, it's hard for us to say that we don't have a story like that, because Nadia and I used to hang out together, and we were
they're together only a year
all
apart.
The time. Yeah, and we were together all the time. There was no way someone would be able to do that, because inseparable.
You're informing each other.
Yeah.
And if anything, I started dating her boyfriend's best friend. So I would always end up with the friend.
Yeah. And Jermaine was not around. We don't know what happened to her for a couple of years in our lives.
Bob, we don't know what happened to me when we talk about stories.
What?
Sheila just said it.
You can't account for all your months and years. Is that what you're saying?
No.
We can't account for mine.
For Jermaine.
For Jermaine's. Like, we can't. We always, they talk about stories when they were little and, oh, we did this. And I'm like, where was I at? I don't remember. And we cannot figure out where was I at within a period of 3 to 4 years. Why wasn't around? And I don't even remember nothing. It's like I was not.
We know where you were. You were in parallel worlds. We know that. and that should be a clue, Jermaine. That's why you can do it. And that's why, you know, it's maybe that's the hesitation, because you think you're going to miss those years. That could be the key here.
Well, I guess I missed a lot already. I don't remember. They don't remember. They're always like, where were you? And we don't remember. And it was when I was like 11, 12, 13.
23.
And then, but then after.
23.
Yeah, somewhere around.
However, she is in pictures, but it's just like in a corner. She's always like in the corner. You only see like her on the side of the picture. It's very weird. But speaking of, I was at the Latin Grammys in Las Vegas. I just got back yesterday, or the day before yesterday. And it was so interesting, because I went to one of the gifting suites, and I saw this lady. We made eye contact, and she told me, I know you. And I said, I know you too. I've seen you before. And she's like, I work here in this hotel. And I said, yeah, but I don't come to Las Vegas often. So it's not from Las Vegas. But I felt like I've known this lady for years. If I was like in a comfortable place with this lady who I seen in Vegas. And she said, my daughter works here too. When I saw you, I told her, I know her. I just don't know from where. And we couldn't think of where. So I said, maybe in a different world. I threw that out there to see what she was going to say. And she's like, that's a possibility. I truly believe in that. So I think that we were somewhere or something in our past life.
Yeah,
or
she
somewhere.
Accepted that. She had no problem with that idea.
She had no problem. And it was just, she's like, I felt so good when I saw you. I don't know why. And she even, like, got chills, and we just hugged and exchanged numbers, and I left.
Well,
that just happened to me, like, a few days ago. It was great.
And this is Nadia saying this.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty neat, Jermaine. Jermaine, well, how would you say that? Jermaine's doing it, and there's no evidence of it. Nadia doesn't know she's doing it, and there is evidence of it.
Yeah, it's crazy. I called Jermaine. It's funny because I called Jermaine and I said, oh, my God, Jermaine, you just don't know what just happened to me. I'm like, but it just felt so good. I just knew it was with somebody from somewhere.
Now, this is also partly the RNA drops will do these things. They bring up the anomalies and make you become more aware of these aspects of your life.
Well, that's what I was telling Jermaine, because I started taking them, and I didn't feel like a huge difference as far as, like, what I really physically. However, mentally, everything that I really kind of want, it's kind of just happening. Like, if I say... for example, back to this weekend that, or this week where I was at the Latin Grammys for work for my radio show, I ended up hanging out by myself throughout the whole time, but I was getting VIP to everything. Like, I had the best time by myself, and it was just like, because I would say, I'm going to get into that. Oh, that's nothing. That's no big deal. I'm backstage with these people, but not necessarily something that was planned. I would just say, and it's just happening. Basically, I'm not seeing any difference as far as, like, my working out and all that stuff, but mentally, there's been a change for sure.
Because you're already healthy.
You know what I'd say, Nadia? Your mind's relaxed and allowing, and it's allowing these things to happen. You're not getting in the way of it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's a big effect. That happens to most people on the drops. But you're seeing that and feeling it. That's a big thing.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely feeling it, and I recognize it, in other words.
How about Gila? Is she getting any effects from the drops?
Well, with me, it started with a lot of health stuff. I was dealing with a lot of health issues for such a long time, and it wasn't until when I decided, okay, I'm going to try this and see what this is about. And then I slowly just started finding all the ways to get healthy. Like, it just led me to every person I needed to hear me out, to, like, find out what was wrong. And it happened. And then now it's where it's starting to happen. Yeah, like I had a bad heartburn. I can't eat anything because I was running to the restroom. I would wake up coughing, choking on like
you're
the acid.
You're in bad shape. You're in bad shape.
Yeah, all that stuff. And I started taking that, and I started feeling 100 times better. And then, like, other issues that I had, I just found the right people that heard me out and looked into what was going on and then found out what it was, and then it was gone.
You feel it in the physical symptoms, whereas Nadia has it in the mind.
Yeah. And going back to that, like, and this is Nadia talking again, with my dreams, they feel so real. Like, I wake up and sometimes I'm not even sure if it really happened. Or if it was a dream, like they feel, like I can feel emotion too within my dream.
Oh, Bob, this is interesting in the house, what's happening. Every person has had an interaction with a little girl in our dreams.
Yeah.
And my mom's like, hurry up, have kids. Who's having, it's somebody's daughter. She's already, but we've all had that interaction with this little girl, all of us, throughout like the past 2 months. Everybody sees this girl in the dreams. It's a little girl that keeps on coming. In everybody's dream.
And she's just around us all the time. It's very interesting.
Yeah, that don't think of it necessarily as a daughter. It's a symbol of your non-physical, of something of the non-physical world, you know, guiding you, doing stuff, being there available. Think of it that way also.
I like
that. That makes more sense.
Yeah, that makes more sense because I don't think any of us are having kids anytime soon.
Yeah.
I think it's something else. It could be someone wanting to be someone's child there, or just didn't care which daughter, just any daughter. She wants to be around.
They're like, we'll take any of those moms.
Yeah.
They seem like cool girls. They look like a good time.
So now this is changing your home. This will change the people in your home because you're living at home, right?
Yeah.
And it will change your mother and father.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what's going on in this house.
The roles have switched in this house.
Yeah,
the roles have switched completely. My mom acts like a
teenager.
That's right. You guys are turning her into it. You're breathing, exhaling the effect of drops and turning her into a teenager.
But it's not a good teenager. She's on Facebook and she goes out and parties and drinks.
Now, your father, he gets affected too, but he's expressing it differently.
Oh, Cliff is changing for the better. He stopped drinking.
Yeah. Kind of.
We can't drink around him, so we don't tempt him.
We feel guilty.
So we hide in rooms to drink when we want to drink. So we don't tempt him.
And Cliff is not on the drops, is he?
He's not, but no, not, we want him to get on him.
I think he's getting the effects because he's thinking more clear. It's like he's having a life-changing moment. Yeah, he's having an awakening moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the effect of your exhalation. He doesn't need to take the drops. He's got all four sisters are taking the drops?
Yeah. You should see her fridge. It's hilarious.
Each one has your name, right? Each bottle?
Yeah.
See, that's good. See, that's going to blow the Kardashians out of the water. That's going to create charisma for you guys. The magic bottles, that'll be a big aspect of your charisma.
We're always like, oh, did you take your drops today? Yeah. Did you take your drops?
Yeah, where's the Kardashians? Did you get fucked today? No, I didn't get fucked. Did you film it? No. See, that's where.
Yeah, I will tell you that Gila's my drug dealer. And what I mean by that is that Gila is the one that subscribed to the website. She provides me with the RNA drops, so she sells them.
You're lazy and you won't go online and just register.
But I mean, it's just because I have one bottle, and it lasted me like months. I can't even tell you how many months.
Gila's a logical one. She registers. Jermaine's not here. She's not going to do any registering. And Nadia is too fucking spaced out to fucking pay attention to fill up the form.
Exactly. I will just get it when I need. I'm like the right now, right here. Let's do it. So when I run
Let's do it right here.
Yeah, I'll just text Nadia for sure. Let's do it.
I plan ahead. I make sure I have my stash. I have for the months to come. It's all there.
Gina's stashing on the way.
Does Jermaine, well, it's in the fridge. Does she lose her bottle? Does she get absent-minded like that?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know which one's mine. Sometimes I give them away.
And I think that drug dealer over here provides G with some when she loses them too.
No. Mine are all labeled and sealed.
Now, what is Kim like in relation to the bottles?
She takes them too.
But she's quiet. She's not telling anybody anything.
Well, I think she's happier.
Than all of you?
No, as opposed from before taking them.
Right, she's happier. Yeah.
She seems to be in a better place.
Yeah, she seems to be in a better place, and it's like she's herself again, because for a minute, we had a fallout with her, the youngest one, and then we all started talking again, and then things are better. So, yeah.
And that is that in within the last couple of months?
I want to say, do you know? I think, like 6 months or something.
Is she wittier? You know, she makes witty statements.
Oh, she's so witty. She's hilarious.
She has those great one-liners, those punchlines that you're just like, whoa, you caught me off guard.
No, and then, Nadia, she's beating Nadia.
No, she
Nadia
is
the witty one, but now she's beating, and they go hard. When they go back and forth, Kim can actually outbeat Nadia sometimes, and she could be
funnier.
Sometimes she has to remind me just to relax and allow, because she's like, you thought about that one too much, and it's true. Like,
yeah,
she's calling me out on it.
Funny, you thought about that one too long.
So what's the age difference between Nadia and Kim?
How old is Kim?
5 years.
Kim's 22.
5 years.
5 years.
Kim is 22. I'm 27. Gila's 28, and Jermaine's 30.
Yeah.
And so you can see it would be filming this group of girls, women, ladies, the astral beings, goddesses, the demons. It would be incredible.
Oh, we have a story. We have two stories. We got to tell you why my mom just does anything we tell her.
Body.
I'm going to tell you mine first. I needed to work on a project. I needed to take pictures, and I asked my mom. I wanted to take pictures of the human body in a closer look, kind of abstract look, like you don't know what you're looking at. And I asked her if she could be ready on Sunday because I needed her body. And she said, oh, okay, with clothes or naked? I'm like, what? Well, if you want nude pictures, I'm for it.
I think she's a combination of all four of you. She's slightly flaky. She's logical. Yeah. She gets her work done. She's romantic and she's shy.
Yeah, totally got it. She get it. That's totally her.
We call her Quadrophenic. She split her Quadrophenia into four beings.
Oh, wow. Oh, that makes sense. I love that.
And we all got a piece of her.
So you were going to tell another story back there a bit, I think.
Oh, yeah. And then Nadia's story?
No, I thought, remember it was yours. You said something about murdering something.
Yes, yes, the murder story.
The murder story that he said, my mom won't let us get away with everything.
I said, except for murder.
Yeah, but what was the story?
But it's your story.
What is it?
You should crash the car.
What? The car.
Oh, I didn't know we were sharing that story. Okay.
Well, that's what I said. Do you want to share when you crash the car? She asked.
Wait a minute. I missed it. Okay. Who's speaking? Nadia's
going to tell the story.
Okay.
We all will chime in. Come on.
Okay, so I was hanging out with Jermaine.
Oh, yeah, blame it on me.
I'm just telling him where I was. I was hanging out with Jermaine. Don't drink and drive is the point of the story, but I had like two drinks, and then I was driving home. But when I was driving home, and there is a car that ran the red light, so when I had the green light, I hit the car, and we're talking about it was a old 1980s Monte Carlo. I mean, those cars are really like, they're not like your regular cars nowadays. They're tough cars.
Yeah.
So I had a Honda Civic, a 2008.
Why are you giving me so many details? This is jealous.
Get it out. I end up getting in a car accident. I hit this old Monte Carlo, and my airbags explode in my face, and I get really, really scared. I don't know what to do. So I take off. My car is going by like 5 miles per hour. But I made it home.
It was right around the corner too, though.
And it was around the corner, yeah. So I pull in and I'm like freaking out. And I'm like, oh my God, I probably have alcohol in my system. If the cops come, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. So I called Jermaine. I'm like, Jermaine, I messed up. I hit a car. I got in a car accident. I don't know what's going to happen. I need to let you go. If I hang up on Jermaine, then I run and I tell my mom what happened. And she's like, Nadia, you've been drinking. I know it. I'm like, yes, I have. I had two drinks. So she's like, here, just start drinking.
No, you forgot what? The cops showed up at her house.
Oh, yeah. And then the cops showed up. Cops show up. And I'm like, Mom, now the cops are here. I don't know what to do. They're going to take me to jail.
You know what Nadia said? Mom, take the blame.
And
you haven't been drinking.
I said, Mom, say it was you. Just go out there and pretend it was you. And she said, Nadia, you're crazy.
No, for a minute she thought about it because she called me and said she wants me to take blame for it. And I was like,
what's wrong? So she looked at me and she said, you're crazy. Just start drinking milk. Get the milk gallon, go in the bathroom and start drinking as much milk as you can. And I said,
I still don't know what that means.
I don't understand why, but I started drinking milk like a baby cow. Like,
right.
I drank so much milk, and then she opened the door. She was kind of entertaining the cops. Meanwhile, I was in the bathroom drinking, like, milk. And so I came out, and they started asking me a few questions, and I obviously didn't smell like beer. I smelled like milk.
Right.
So they were like, okay, well, don't worry about it. Why did you take off? I'm like, I don't know. I was scared. And so they just went over that whole thing. And they just said, okay, well, there's no police report, so you're probably going to have to call your insurance.
So you see, the point is she actually considered taking the blame. So she does anything we tell her to.
Yeah.
Who does anything? Your mother. But
my
mother
mom.
Saved you. She knew the milk thing. You didn't know that.
I had no idea. I didn't even know why I was doing it, but she told me to do it, and
Nadia was trying to make her take the blame for it.
But yeah,
they were driving. Yeah. She almost did it.
Wow, that's amazing. The what does this show Nadia? And Nadia's kind of selfish, isn't she? She's kind of like, I'm the radio star. You got to take the hit, Mom. You take the hit.
You know what? It's so funny because it was on a Sunday. It was Super Bowl Sunday. And that's the first thing that I thought. I said, I have a radio show that I have to go to tomorrow. There's no way that I can't go to my live radio show tomorrow. And
oh, my God. And then the next day, she makes me call at 7 in the morning on a radio show pretending that I'm Gila to talk about, like, oh, my boyfriend, we broke up because Gila wasn't available. And I had to pretend I was Gila.
Gila was going through a breakup, and I wanted her to share the story on air because we were talking about why she broke up and how, you know, guys tell you stories and tell you a good story when they're...
And you're saying Jermaine called in pretending she was Gila.
He made me.
So I made Jermaine call in.
I felt so bad that she left that day, that she left and she crashed, and I felt it was my fault because I didn't make her stay with me. And
right.
So then I was like, okay, I woke up at 7 in the morning, pretended I was Gila, and I was pretending that it was, I was just talking about her life, but it was me.
Great.
And Gila didn't even know.
Wow. You know, Jermaine, that's why I assume that's why you're pretty normal or natural on the radio, because you're living with this chaos and already ready to lie, be anything that anybody wants you to be. You're flexible.
I'm super flexible. Yeah, if you were to live in this house with all these people and grow up with the stuff we grew up with, I mean, it comes natural.
The covering for each other, that has happened many times.
Yes. Oh, I have a story. We do have juicy stories. This one was between Nala and I. We stole Jermaine's
ID.
About me?
Oh.
So we can
that
go out.
That was the worst.
What is this?
We stole Jermaine's ID.
When they weren't 21 yet, they stole my ID, and I didn't know for years.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to give you the real scoop here. Jermaine and I had a plan, and Jermaine said, Nadia, when I turn 21, the first thing I'm going to do is go to the DMV and get you an extra ID so we can party together. That sounded like a great idea to
me. We used to sneak her in at 17 years old at
clubs. And I'm only 17, so I'm thinking like, oh, that's fantastic. Gila just lived in Arizona. So when Jermaine turned 21, I said, where's the fake ID? And she didn't do it. And a month went by, 2 months went by, and she never got the fake ID. So I felt like she lied to me, and I was looking forward to going out with a fake ID. So I had a friend at the time. I had a guy friend who would always invite me to the coolest places ever, like the best concerts, the best clubs here in Hollywood. And I was 17. I had just graduated high school. I was going into college. So that's all I wanted to do. I wanted to experience and go to these things. So since I didn't have an ID, and I really wanted to go to this club this one night, Jermaine's wallet was on her bed, and it was just wide open. Her ID was right there, and it was just like the light was shining on it. And I said, this is my opportunity to take her ID. And I'm on the phone with my friend. I said, that's it. We're going to this club. I have a fake ID. Don't worry about it. So I take Jermaine's ID, and I couldn't give it back to her. So the next day, I called Gila, and I'm like, Gila, you don't even know what happened. I just stole Jermaine's ID, and now I can party with her fake ID. So this is going to make her go to the DMV and get an extra ID. As a matter of fact, Jermaine had to go on a trip for work.
No, I went on my first ever business trip for work. I was only 22, and it was like, oh, you get to go to Vegas for a trade show, and I'm flying there with my bosses and tell me why I'm stuck at the airport because I didn't have an ID. I got in so much trouble by my boss, like, how can I not be prepared? And then I don't even remember how I had to show, I think.
How you got out of it. You don't know how you resolved it.
I don't remember, but it was her phone. Where is my ID? And she had stole my ID.
So when she came back, it forced her to go to the DMV like I had planned. So she got a copy of her ID, and she finally was like, oh, here's a copy. Since I had to go to the DMV, here's a copy of my new ID.
She goes and gets a new ID, and she gives it to Nadia?
Yeah, she got a copy. So she got her
ID
driver's license and her California ID.
Right.
So she puts her driver's license, and then she gives me the California ID. But this now means I have two of her IDs, one being the original that I stole from her. Being that Gila was in Arizona, that same week, I left to Arizona, and I told Gila, this is what happened. I can't keep this original ID with me because I'll get caught. So I will let you have this ID. And at the time, Gila was 18. So 19. Gila, or 19, 19, yeah. 19. Well, she was 18, 19. She still couldn't get it to clubs that were 21 and over, nor drink out in Arizona. So I left her that idea. Now, Gila started partying, and every time Gila would talk about her experience in Arizona, she'll talk about these parties and these clubs. And Jermaine asked her, how are you getting in these clubs? And Gila's like, oh, we have friends. They're promoters. They let me in. No big deal.
Well, no, no, so, I didn't hear that. What did you tell Jermaine?
She said that she had a lot of promoter friends out in Arizona, so they would let her in free and, like, they wouldn't ask for her ID. So years go by. Gila's still partying in Arizona with Jermaine's ID. I'm partying in L.A. I almost got caught one time where Jermaine and I ended up being at the same place, and I got in first. And then when she was trying to get in, they were giving her a hard time, and she was like, how did you get in? They're giving me a hard time. She never put one and one together, but I knew that I had to leave that club that night right after she came in, because she said, if they catch us both and ask us for the ID, we're going to get in trouble. So I tell my friend, I'm like, let's get out, because if Jermaine walks in, I don't want to embarrass myself nor her. I took off, and here we are, like, it's 2 days before my 21st birthday. We're in Arizona visiting Gila, and we're wasted. And Gila's like, Jermaine, I got a story to tell you. This is going to be the funniest story you're ever going to hear. And she tells Jermaine the story, and Jermaine was so mad, and she's like, give me my ID back. You guys are not going to party.
We got in a fight.
Gila was already 21, so she didn't care. And the rule was, on my birthday, on my 21st birthday, that's when we're going to tell Jermaine the story, and we're going to give it back to her.
And Gila blew it by telling 2 days ahead.
Yeah. So then Jermaine, well, keep it. It doesn't matter, because at this point, I'm going to be 21 in 2 days, so no worries. We're just going to give it back to you on my actual birthday. But that's another story.
That's pretty interesting. So it all ends up being Jermaine. Where's Kim in this? She doesn't have a clue, right? She's too young.
She's way too young, yeah.
Does she know the story?
Yeah, she knows, because her and my cousin tried to steal our IDs this time around.
But they're not smart enough.
They weren't smart.
We call them dumb and dumber.
We call them dumb and dumber. They're really pretty girls and don't know how to pull it off. And they were trying to steal ours.
Well, in their defense, I mean, we've done it all. So even if they try to doing something, it's like, sorry, we already did that. Like, and there's better ways of doing it now, but you still didn't do it right. So I think that's what happens now with
them.
That's
awesome. That's incredible. So for 2 or 3 years, the two younger sisters are using Jermaine's ID, and she got her own. And do you guys look a bit like Jermaine?
We all look alike.
Kim, the youngest one, is like Jermaine's mini-me. They look identical.
Yeah, Bob, my youngest sister, Kim, and I, it's scary what's happening right now. It's like we're transforming into one person. We look much alike. I find myself looking at her just because I see myself back. Like, it's
looking
at myself in a mirror.
They're twins.
Yeah.
Right. And then
twins.
I kind of resemble Jermaine, but not really.
If she got blonde hair, she looks like me. When she goes dark, she doesn't.
However, I was just with Kim getting our nails done yesterday, and they asked us if we were twins.
Yeah.
Right. Jermaine looks like Kim, but Nadia is being identified with Jermaine.
Yeah, when she's blonde, she always looks like me. If she goes dark, she doesn't.
Does your mother know this happened, the ID?
Yeah, I think she knows everything about us.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. She thinks we're crazy.
Yeah, I think she has to sort of, you know, relax a lot. She phases out. She sort of abstracts herself.
She does.
To monitor the dynamics of that, it's just too much.
Yeah, I think she totally does. Every time when people ask me or about my parents, I refer to them as the hippie parents, because they just are so like, yeah, do whatever you want. It's all in peace. Like, it's cool. No worries. Like, I call them the hippie parents.
They don't act like our parents. They act like siblings, too.
But now your mother's changing, and she's not going to be a hippie anymore. Or she's going to be a hippie again?
She's going from a hippie to, like,
a wild child.
Madonna. Turning into Madonna.
She's going from a hippie to wannabe hip.
Madonna?
or Beyonce? Who's the wild child in your culture, in your iconography, in pop culture?
Miley Cyrus.
Oh, yes, Miley Cyrus, right.
My mom's turning into Miley Cyrus.
That could be be your first song. You should make a song like that. Who could do the singing? Nade? No. Are you a singer?
I am not a singer. I just have a radio voice.
Maybe
I cannot
Kim.
Sing.
Maybe
Kim could sing it.
Yeah. Turn into Miley.
Let's check the silent audience on who's there. Carolyn, do you have anything to say, Carolyn?
I'm really enjoying this conversation. I'm laughing and smiling. You guys are really fun.
No, you could see why somebody would be interested in presenting them in public.
Yeah, absolutely. They're a gold mine.
See, that's the thing. You guys are mutated. You're going to be so charismatic and people won't know why because you got the drops working for you.
True. Yeah.
You're not going to get, sucked into the media vortex where people try to control you because the four of you will keep each other honest and just keep being independent. That's a big thing in the media, and that's where Bob comes in. He'll coach you on that aspect.
And I got my intelligence contact. You know, any problems, we can smoke people for you. You know, just like Frank.
No, I love that. you know what's so funny? It's so true, though. Like, since I started taking the drops too, and I'm on air, like, my personality's just coming out more and more. And sometimes I go in there, and I'm just so funny where I even look back, and I'm like, wow, who am I right now? Where did that come from? Where my co-host once told me, well, look who came so funny. Who ate a little clown today?
We have a woman, a picture of a woman on our RNA drops. We've got to have all four sisters on the fucking site. Now, that would be incredible. Rather than one face, have four faces. So, Matthew, look into that, Matthew.
We'll get them before their fees skyrocket.
That's right. We'll get them at $25 each or something. Now, wouldn't that be funny to have four faces all look alike? You know, that would be great. Signature brand.
I like that idea.
Now, Matthew, are you out there? Aren't you the next guest, Matthew? These people, they just are so irresponsible.
Like, I think that they're either really enjoying this conversation or they might just feel like, what stories am I going to tell after these crazy girls got on here and told theirs?
Bob, I have a question for you.
Okay, who's this?
Jermaine. How are you feeling? Because you're on air, 50-something hours now. That's so cool.
Yeah, I feel normal.
Has it been fun?
Yes, as long as I got people to talk to, I'm okay. My mouth keeps me going, and, having you on and everybody else, I've just been talking constantly for 2 days? Now moving through the third day, and I'm going to go 5 or 6 days. We're on the radio, so the chat line, everybody's going, this is goddamn amazing. Bob's a fucking god. Look at him. Look at him go. He doesn't even get tired. They are astounded.
What inspired you to do this, Bob?
On November 22nd, the Kennedy assassination, Ginny said she wanted to give some prizes on the 22nd. I said, okay, I'm Saturday's show. My show goes 14 hours. I do a 14-hour show every Saturday.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic.
And the Chief Radio is the environment where I'm allowed to do that. And we pay for it. I'm not being paid. We pay for this. This thing may break us. We're going to pay, $10,000 for the 6 days? Something like that. I don't know what it is, but I don't know if we can handle it.
At least a quarter mil, Bob.
$250,000 It's a tax write-off.
I always wanted to be a tax write-off. Haven't done that in 50 years.
That's right. But the thing is, so Ginny said, okay, I got to come on your show, but I got to do it on the 22nd. Well, that's a Friday, and my show's on Saturday. And then I said, well, it's the Kennedy Assassination Day. And then I thought, I have all these evergreen sessions, and I've always wanted to make them public. And I said, I can play these for several days. Then Carol looked it up. She was standing there. We were thinking out, I think, and she said, oh, look, the record's by Art Bell. 116 hours. And I said, that guy's famous. I got to knock his record off. So I got inspired by that, and I said, that's it. We're going 122 hours, maybe 144. And it got set up, and then Matt and everybody started promoting, and I didn't do anything. I relaxed and allowed, and I'm still going strong. Here it is.
I have another question for you. Do you take the RNA drops right before you go on air? Or do you, if I were to go on air tomorrow morning, I normally try to take them before I leave and drive to work. Do you suggest I pick them right before I go on air?
No, do them before you drive to work. You want to be alert for driving. So I take my time in the morning. I do them before I go to the beach, which can be anywhere between 11 and 3. So okay. I might not eat anything. See, I only sleep 3 hours. So I sleep, let's say, from 6:30 to 9:30. So I'm downstairs by 10. Then I diddle around answering Jermaine's emails and handling her crises. And that takes a couple hours. and then I walk over to the kitchen. I take my Remag, Relight, and the RNA drops. Carolyn has put Renew on my face in the evening before she goes to bed. So I get the Renew, put on my face, at, let's say, at 10 o'clock, and it stays there till 6 o'clock when I shower. What is that? That's like 8 hours of Renew on my face, and the whole world's sleeping, and Bob's still up. I take the drops before I go to the beach. So I recommend you do it before you leave the home, Nadia.
Okay, perfect.
That was Nadia, right?
That was Nadia.
She just interviewed you.
I thought that was Jermaine interviewing me.
Oh, no, it's Nadia.
Yeah, that's great. I had a professional interview. I think that's my first professional interview.
Well, if I may, I have one more question, too.
Well, okay. All right. What? So let's get personal. Let's do a do me. Get personal with me.
Oh, you have Caroline for that.
No. Carol's used to it. I'm always doing things right in public. So as long, like, I'm allowed to act like a complete, you know, horny rat on the radio, but I cannot do it when we're off the radio in front of people. I must be polite.
Well, here's another question. What's the longest you've had a guest on right now so far?
Dave's been on a long time. Dave was on last night. And he was on many hours. Let's see. Of people we don't know, you know what I mean? Like Dave, I've known him for decades. Ginny, Greg, regular Ionettes, Lynn. Matthew booked a bunch of people that I don't know. And every one of them has refused to come. And the last one got pissed off because she came in and I didn't notice it. And then 20 minutes later, I noticed it. And I said, oh, great, you're here. And I said, good, there's enough time before the super celebrities come. And she says, I'm a self-published author or whatever it is. I'm an author, published author, blah, blah, blah. And I don't need to be a celebrity. I said, yeah, that's the kind of like, you don't need to be a celebrity. You're just local broadcasting. And I thought she was going along with me. And all of a sudden she goes, goodbye, and hangs up.
Almost. You're right. Yeah, it's not diminishing. No. And then she says, well, I was going to talk about tantric sex. And Bob's like, whoa, or ooh, or so there's a few like, yeah. Okay, start talking. She's like, no. And then hung up. Yeah.
That was a smart move. We've had about 8 guests. 4 of them hate me. 4 of them like me.
Bob, I hope that lady doesn't listen after, and then she's probably going to be like, those are the girls that I was put on hold for. What's those are the stupid superstars. Those are the celebrities you were talking about.
Yeah, it's 4 whores that Bob fucking hired. Well, I know where my bread is buttered. I mean, women are taking over. I want to hook into the young generation as fast as possible. These Kardashians of the Spanish ghetto are where it's at. There's no doubt about it.
Spanish ghetto. These Kardashians of the Spanish ghetto.
They're actually illegal immigrants, you know. They actually live in
Costa Rica. We are. We just became citizens like maybe 3 years ago.
No,
really?
2005.
Yeah, 2005. We became citizens in 2005.
Now, is that because your mother was illegal?
That's because everybody's illegal.
Everybody's illegal in L.A.
Yeah, you're right. I'm just surprised we're not Mexican.
Yeah. You guys are awesome. I mean, Jermaine, you should have told me. We could have had these guys on with Ion, you know?
We're legal now.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, you're so lively. And did you know, Jermaine, that Ion showed up yesterday?
Jermaine, no way.
Bob, can I just tell you, Jermaine's a rich whore. She's on your show. She's on Ian's show. She's on my show.
That's right. And Jermaine has the big conscience of, I don't know if I want to compromise. I'm an artist. I don't know if I do that. And she shows up at every show with this contradictory posture that, no, I don't think I should do this. I don't know. The sisters are going to, they're going to go blast. They're going to meet the media, but it's up to me whether I'll join. I don't think I'll join them. And then find out she's on every show and, you know, and organizing it.
That's so true, Bob. And everybody's like, you want to be on something? I'm like, no, I hate being on, I hate pictures. I hate being on shows. And then I end up being on everything.
That's right. Well, basically, Jermaine's very careful. She's the most savvy of the media images. She worked on that website for a year or two. Had to be this, it had to be that. She's very careful. You know, she's cautious. She's in it for the long run, the long haul, the long distance. So if she gets on your show, she's considered it and figured it works, and a lot of thought goes into it, I think. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think about it too much. I'm like, and then I'm like, oh, fuck it. I'll do
it. You can't. You're neither logical nor intuitive. You're in the middle. You're fucking not even here. You can't even make a thought coherent, and so you just give it up every time.
So I just do it, yeah.
You're probably the most like your mother.
In that sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what, so is Ian showed up yesterday?
Yes, you got to hear it. You know, it's like hour, what is it, hour, Carolyn? We said hour 18 or so. Ian comes in at around quarter after, 20 after, and he's on for 25 minutes, say, 30 minutes, and it's awesome. There's a whole gaggle of 40, 50, and 60-year-olds. They go nuts, Jermaine. You're going to laugh your head up. They can't take it. They, oh, my God, Ian's on. And they faint, they yell, they scream, they forget their questions, they stumble over each other for 20 minutes. It's awesome.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. I'm going to go back and listen
to
it.
Yes, and it was a dream come true. I mean, it's what we knew. We were talking to Ian before, a couple days before, and he said, do you think you'd come in? And Ian said, yeah, maybe. And so he comes in, and right away the guns are blaring. He insults me immediately. He insults me, question at me. He knocks me out, and that leaves room for him. Then he goes to work on the women. I regain my composure after 20 minutes, and Ian disappears. And then he comes back, and I said, you're not allowed to fucking back here. And he left again. I drove him out, and that was that.
That's so funny.
It would be amazing if he were just to drop by right now when we're on right now.
That'd be great. You know what Gila just did right now, Bob? She brought out a bottle of champagne.
She's celebrating because she's been on the greatest show. You guys made history on some kind of history because this is going to be famous, this 150 hours. It's going to be famous.
Well, the reason why I asked how long or what's the longest it has been on, because I would try to pitch it to these young girls here, if we try to be the guest to be here on the longest.
You work tomorrow.
Yeah, but I mean.
Well, okay.
Yeah, but
you guys want to stay a little longer?
But, I mean, I can just cure that with some RNAs and call it a day and keep going, right?
Can I ask a question, Bob?
Uh-oh, now this is Robert from Tottenham, England. You know Robert, don't you, Jermaine? You've heard him many times. So address Jermaine, Robert.
Hi, Jermaine. I'm just talking to you and all your sisters, really. I'm curious to know what your show's called. You know, you've got a radio show.
Oh, my sister, Nadia. Your radio.
Yeah. It's Playboy Radio en Español. It's Playboy Radio in Spanish.
So you're not part of the Hugh Hefner thing. It's just the name of your show.
It is part of the Hugh Hefner. I broadcast out of the studio in Burbank here in California, and it's Playboy Studio. Yes. We have the Playman of the Year who comes on to our show as well. So we are part of Playboy, Hugh Hefner, and the mansion and all that good stuff.
Have you been there, Nadia?
Not yet. I haven't been to the mansion yet, but I will next year.
Give us a little sense of the show.
Dave, she said earlier that they interview pop celebrities, whoever shows up, and they do a Howard Stern. They go into the intimate level of them.
Yes, we were also on SiriusXM, so we were like the Howard in Spanish. We just started podcasting right now, but we are also picking up another deal with Univision, which is one of the biggest companies you can work for within the Latin community. But we were on SiriusXM, so a lot of people heard us, not just nationwide, but there was a few people out in Canada and Mexico and Peru and different parts of the world where they would listen to our show because we are the Howard Stern in Spanish.
You're originally from Costa Rica or Mexico or?
We were born in Costa Rica, yes.
Is this the new branding for Playboy, the radio? They're going into the radio, is it? Are you the face of Playboy Radio?
I am the face of Playboy Radio in Spanish. Playboy Radio in English does exist, and they've been on air for 6 years. So now we're doing that, but for the Spanish side, I'm the face for the Spanish side of Playboy Radio. But yeah, they've been around for a long time.
Is it every week, is it, or twice a week, or every once a year? You know, it just seems like it's all poolside parties.
The parties at the mansion?
I don't know. Is it the mansion? It's not just Hefner's mansion now, is it? There's other people doing this stuff, but it's like a poolside party where everybody goes to the beach and just hang out and have a drink and dance and
DJ. Radio show. Everybody has party. That's where they have like parties in the summer, and there's a lot of playmates and a lot of famous people that attend these parties. And we try to do that for the radio side, so we also bring on playmates. So if you go to my studios in the morning when we're broadcasting, there's playmates. It makes you feel like you're part of the mansion.
Is that part of the subscription where you subscribe to your site and stuff?
Yes, you can go on playboyradio.com. And you'll find the podcast there.
Is your show the same? You can only listen to it if you're a subscribed member, or?
It's free right now because we're podcasting it, so it's free. And you can find it on playboyradio.com.
How long you been doing it?
I have over a year now with Playboy Radio, but I've started doing interns as far as the radio industry. But with Playboy, I've been on air for over a year now.
He used to have on his show, like years ago in the late 60s, on his TV show, he'd have a lot of musical guests. Do you have musical guests on your show?
Yes. If you remember his show when he had it on TV and it was black and white?
Yeah, I saw a Deep Purple thing. Or this one was in color, but it was like in the late 60s, 1968. It was back in the day for sure.
Exactly. We do the same thing. We also bring on guests. The great thing about our show is that being that we're Playboy, we can cover anything from sports to artists to athletes. We really have the liberty to bring on whomever we like. So we definitely cover a lot of artists, athletes, movies, just a little bit of everything.
Nice.
Are you girls on social media? Do you do stuff like that? Or do you have people to do that for you?
I'm doing my own social media for now. I go under Nadia, which is my name, and then Latica, which means Costa Rican in Spanish.
Okay.
You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter.
Hey, let me just...
You've heard of Keith,
Jermaine would be interested in this. She's more informed of my history than the other, her sisters. They follow what Jermaine does, so they're all in on it now.
Jermaine is our leader.
That's not true. I will not be held responsible for that.
We believe.
Jermaine is our God.
We believe in Jermaine. We believe in our leader.
Jermaine. The RNA code.
Yeah, the RNA code. Jermaine carries a secret code.
Well, that's great. Your sisters are wicked. It's brilliant.
I like you, Rob.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't know if this is confidential, Jermaine. The fact that Ion is known in Hollywood because of someone around the Renners. You know what I mean, don't you, Jermaine?
I think Jermaine's confused.
Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah.
This is the connection. At least 3 years ago, I think a lot of Hollywood people know about us now, but 3 years ago, this was the connection, Greg. So we have, you know, these four sisters, and of course we all love the one in Costa Rica. She's probably really unique. Anybody who's kicked out of family is the charismatic one, the black sheep. So we want to get to know the fifth one. What's up with her? She's not even hanging out with the tribe. She probably is a super individual.
Didn't make it to America.
They have a charisma in their faces that could become something. But you're probably on your way, and nobody is doing RNA drops like you guys. This is very unique. Well, actually, you guys are like being genetically engineered by the RNA drops to some new kind of mutant.
Yeah, you're probably
the whole family.
You guys have been tremendous. You definitely are probably the most interesting and popular guest so far.
Thank you, Bob, for having us. And I've always told myself about you and Carolyn and Ion and, like, how great you guys are. And when I try to explain people about you guys, I just started calling you guys my godparents or my uncle and my auntie because I don't know what else to say.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank
yeah, auntie,
you.
Carolyn and Uncle Bob. This is Nadia talking now. It was very nice meeting all of you guys. Thank you for having us on your show. This has been fun and inspiring too. I can't wait until you guys do your last hour and beat the record. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Great.
I don't mind being an uncle. No, I'll be getting some perks, but we'll discuss that later.
I mean, you will get some perks. You get like a little gift card from time to time. You get a little for Christmas.
Yes.
I mean,
I will get the family photo every year.
And you should see those.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine with your mother's involvement. It's going to be pretty risque. We know that. Because your mother's going to... You guys are aging, and she's going the other direction. She's going to become a little kid in relation to you guys, a wild, wild, crazy chick. So she'll keep you young. She's going to keep you guys young.
Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, she will.
Yeah. Do you know that phrase, Bob's your uncle? No, that's a phrase that, you know, in English culture, that's a phrase. Bob's your uncle. So, yes,
you don't get it, but now we call you Uncle Bob.
That's right. Uncle Bob. And when they start filming you, you guys say, did Uncle Bob say send some more drops? Okay, I want to get some embeds in there.
Yeah.
I'm a mystery guy.
Your Uncle Bob and Carolyn's Auntie Carolyn.
Auntie Carolyn, that's right. It's awesome. So this has been fantastic and way beyond my wildest imaginations and dreams. You guys have been perfect. And you might want to excerpt this, Nadia, and play it on your show.
I was actually thinking you just inspired me to bring these crazy girls back on my show. I just have a hard time getting these girls up early in the morning to be ready and have this type of energy.
That's right. You got to go down there at 5 or so. 4:30?
My show starts at 7 in the morning, so I'm usually in the studio by 6.
So that means you get up at 5?
4.
Wow, 4. Mm-hmm. So you go to bed at 9 or 10?
10.
So that's 10, that's 6 hours sleep. That's good enough.
Yeah, right? Not when we go out and party, though.
No. And as you get as the drops take more effect, you should be able to diminish your hours of sleep.
You think so?
Yeah, that's what happened to me.
I feel really tired, like, during the day, especially, like, around 2, 3 o'clock. That's when, like, I get really tired.
Well, take some drops at that point.
Take them twice a day, right?
Take them 3 times a day. You're taking them long enough. I used to sleep 6 hours in New York. I came to Maui in 2008, and then I went 5 hours. But once I got on the RNA drops, I went down to 3 hours sleep a night.
I'm going to start doing that because I can be more productive if I take them during the afternoon.
Yeah,
Bob, I would do that. I don't mind sleeping because that's where the magic happens for me.
That's right. Yeah, well, you're not here, Jermaine. You know, you're in another world all the time. And this is what you learned from Mayan. Nobody has ever slept in terms of becoming conscious. You go to another world. The body requires you to leave this world. You need to check out what you're involved in and go to another world. That's what sleep is. And if you wake up tired, it just means you've been very busy in another world.
I'll tell you this story. I just feel like we're never going to leave, but I'll tell you a quick story before I leave.
It's all right.
I don't know why, but like kind of like right after I started taking the RNA drops, when I would sleep on the left-hand side of my bed, and it would only happen on the left-hand side, I would go to different places and interact with different places, but because it was so new to me, I would get scared. So I made sure to stay on the right side of the bed. Once I started getting more comfortable and I was understanding what was going on with my dreams, I was able to, like, really just then now don't know where if I'm dreaming or if it's really happening.
Doesn't matter which side you're sleeping on.
No, it doesn't matter. Now it's just if I'm sleeping, I can interact and just be okay.
You could look at that left side as maybe a portal. you're sleeping right beside a portal and going through there. That's why it's more active.
That's exactly how it felt.
Well, you guys are a pretty psychic family, pretty anomalous family, pretty unpredictable, pretty, well, you're pretty, right? Pretty.
All right, okay. Uncle Bob.
Bye, Uncle Bob.
All right, thank you very much. And then note that, audience, I just acquired a new family right here, live, on the air.
Bye, everybody.
All right,
welcome,
great.
Girls.
Okay, great. Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Bye.